This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
On this Palm Sunday, if you could take your palms, please, in your hand. These palms were blessed this morning, and they will be blessed again by your presence. Let us pray. It is right to praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed as King of Kings by those who spread their garments and branches of palm along his way. Let these branches be for us signs of his victory. And grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our king and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns in glory with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. A perfect prayer for the beginning of our conversation today. As many of you know, we just returned from our mission trip to the Dominican Republic. 18 of us had the opportunity to go, and in large part due to your support and the support of this entire congregation, and for that we are very grateful. We had a most amazing time with the poor and ministering to these joyful people. And I've asked just some of the people that went with me on the trip to say how it transformed their lives, just very briefly. And we will start with Peggy.
This was my first trip to the Dominican Republic. It was an extremely spiritual experience for me. I can't begin to tell you how many things I learned and how much this trip meant to me. Our father called me to go on this mission, and I don't know why he called me for this particular mission, and I may never know his reason and his purpose. That's in his hands. When he called, at first, I was not very cooperative. I continually either ignored the call or I made many excuses for not being able to go. I told him I was inadequate, not prepared. I had no money. Finally, he began to disturb my sleep. He wouldn't let me rest. He kept nagging at my conscience until finally I relented. I prayed and asked for his guidance to show me what to do and how to do it. And he did. He was with me at my side all the way. I was amazed at the things our Father helped me do. This experience taught me not only to stop doubting my God-given capabilities, but to trust and be obedient to the Holy Spirit when he calls us to duty.
And Micah.
My name is Micah. I'm one of the 18. I'm going to make it brief, but both times I've gone to the Dominican Republic, I've come back with a whole new outlook on life. I come back feeling inspired and finding myself enjoying the simpler things in life. I especially love being able to walk around and getting a chance to talk with the locals, even though I can't speak Spanish. Either way, it's still a blast, and they are always greeting you with a smile. They seem to be some of the happiest people I've been around, and it always gets me excited about going back. So it was a great trip. I had to write that all down.
And Jessica.
Okay, this was my first mission to the Dominican Republic, and it was awesome. I never imagined that I would gain so much as I did. Even though we gave a lot, we gained so much more in return. The experiences and people were so amazing, and I feel forever transformed due to the light of God.
Hi, my name is Joan Fox, and this is my third mission trip to the Dominican Republic. And making this mission trip this year has clearly shown me the many blessings that I have here, but it has also opened my eyes to the blessings of these people and to the sunny personalities that they have and the ingenuity that these people use to create.
Thank you. And C.
Hi, my name is C. I'm an exchange student from China here for 1 year. And before I came to America at the beginning of the school year, I never imagined I would have a chance to go on such a mission trip to the Dominican Republic. So I already feel so blessed. So I just threw in 8 days of my vacations and expected nothing in return. But after the trip, I felt like I won the lottery. Well, all the amazing people on our team, the friendship I gained with the locals, the spirit I experienced, and so on, everything. I don't think I will ever forget about that. Thank you.
Thank you. And Marty Knight.
Good morning. I'm Marty Knight, and I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, St. Joseph's Church, from all of us, from all the team, for supporting us financially and with your prayers, and we felt your presence with us on our trip. I was just one of 18 who took that step of faith, and I feel so abundantly thankful and humbled by that experience. A high note for me was experiencing these humble, gentle people from the clergy who have been there years and years and years, who have dedicated their lives to bringing Jesus to the people of the Dominican Republic, to our the ladies who cleaned our rooms and took such good care of us and fed us, to the children whose faces just beamed with smiles all the time, every time we met them. The Lord is there in the Dominican and doing great things in the lives of those people. And he's also working in my life and in our lives. And I'm thankful. Thank you, St. Joseph's.
Thank you all. Thank you. The whole team was here for the 9:30 service, so I applaud all of you for staying for real church all the time, all morning. One of my fondest memories was on the second day, we were invited to participate in a parade through the streets and Boca Chica, and it was the celebration of St. Joseph Day. And so they have San Jose there, we have San Jose here, St. Joseph's, and it was an amazingly wonderful and beautiful parade, even with the stench of garbage in the streets. And even with the little children in the doorways that really didn't have any clothes at all and were dirty and tattered and beaming, and we'd give them some of our flags and they would be so very joyful. And I'll not forget that parade. We saw Christ in the eyes of the children and in the joyful poor. We truly did. And one of our missioners who's not here today, John Bichette, said, "Poverty is a state of mind. There are rich people who are poor, and there are poor people who are rich, and vice versa." And we certainly lived that and experienced that this week. We rode into the DR on a Sunday in our bus with a trailer pulled behind us, jam-packed with all of our supplies. And we didn't know what we were going to find, what we were going to experience. We were a little anxious, a little fearful, but joyful too. And I couldn't help but think that that must have been how the people felt with that parade so long ago when Jesus was marching into the city of Jerusalem. He and his disciples had made their way the 100-mile trek down from Galilee into Jerusalem for the Passover. And our story today begins with them on the Mount of Olives, which is to the east of Jerusalem, looking down on the way, and Jesus sent them ahead to find their transportation, maybe prearranged, maybe so in secret. He was in the area they call Bethany and Bethphage, and if you remember, in Bethany he had some of his best friends were there, his best buds were there, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And I have to think maybe he was hanging out there before he knew what he was about to experience, that he was hanging there because it provided him with a little bit of safety, a little bit of comfort. I don't know. I'm just saying, maybe that was it. Because later, at the end of the story we heard today, he would go back to Bethany before he faced the last week of his life. The last week of his life. I'm reading this great book. I've had it on my shelf for a long time. I don't know if you do this, but I finally picked it up to read it. And it's called The Last Week. And it's by Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan. And I can highly recommend it. They take one day of each of the Holy Week days, starting with today, Palm Sunday, and they give you an in-depth historical background. And I was astounded at their research and what they picked up and revealed for all of us. And so I'm going to take one day and read each chapter as we go through this Holy Week together. I share with you a few of what they discovered about this day so long ago. It was Palm Sunday. And after they made this trek down, they were looking upon this city that was what Borg and Crossan call ruled by a domination system. It was completely a domination system. Most of the people were poor that lived there. The population of Jerusalem was about 40,000 at the time. And this domination system is marked by three aspects. One is that the wealthy and the powerful control everything. Ordinary people have absolutely no say-so whatsoever in their lives. Nothing. And this was a common social system for thousands of years until just a few hundred years ago when democracy finally came into being. I mean, it's so foreign to us because we've never lived it, but it was completely dominated by the wealthy and the powerful. That's the first, political oppression, with a capital P and a capital O. Secondarily, it was economic exploitation, so that the peasants had to work and live to pay the money to Rome, to the Roman Empire. And the wealthy and the powerful of that time also dominated all of the money, either through land ownership or indentured service from the peasants to the rich. And lastly, the king would say that everything he did was because God told him to do it. And so he was saying that he was the King of Kings. He was the Son of God. And if you didn't bow down to that king, you would be crucified. It was a common form of punishment for turning the other way, for any kind of revolt. So if you can imagine living in that time, this is what Jesus, this radical revolutionary, was facing when he went into that city. Times were dangerous, extremely dangerous. And he chose to ride into town on a donkey. This is the vehicle that princes used when they wanted to say that they had a peaceful intention. He would ride into town on a donkey. And what's amazing is that that wasn't just one parade that was happening at this time. All these pilgrims were coming to Passover. 200,000 people would descend upon the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus comes, you might call it the peasant parade from the east, but coming from the west was another parade. And it was led by Pontius Pilate, for he didn't live in Jerusalem all the time. He lived down on the coast. They had beautiful palaces that they would live in, and he was making his way from the west. And you can imagine his entourage with the horses that were well kept and the clicking of the heels and the swords and all of his princes and rulers and guards and soldiers. They were coming into town at the same time. So on the one hand, you've got this peasant parade, and on the other hand, you've got this imperial parade, and they would come together. On the one hand, that which stands for love and humility, and on the other, that which stood for oppression and degradation and control and power. I'm wondering, and I wondered this week when we were in our parade in the Dominican Republic about that city and how that city really can represent our own hearts and souls. that we too might welcome which parade in our lives? Are we welcoming love and humility? Or are we too bowing down to power and wealth and material possessions? We have choices to make, and on this day of celebration, for it's still a celebratory day, we have that same choice to make. We're going to be singing a song in a little while, and it occurred to me that the text of this song, so aptly chosen by Charles, is our invitation to what we're going to choose in our life. And here's the text. A light I am to you who see, a lens I am to you who look, a door I am to you who knock, a road I am to you who walk. When we entered the parade in the Dominican Republic, we didn't know where we were going. We trusted, and we followed, and we were never the same again. In closing, I remember on the wall, as we were passing by one wall, Father Sandino, who was our host, pointed to the wall, and there was a writing there from the book of Revelation in Spanish. And translated, it means, I know your works. Look, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. And at the bottom of that wall was garbage piling up. And it was this bright yellow paint. And it was this vision of it shining through. And I'll never forget it. And it's our invitation in every day, in every way, to follow love and humility. Amen.